How many of you can say amen right there? I'd rather have Jesus, amen. Anything that I know of, anyway, amen. This whole world that we're living in is quickly passing away. Amen. I want to start somewhere tonight. Notice I did not say finish somewhere tonight. I just simply want to start somewhere. And the Old Testament is where we're going. And we're going to try over the next several weeks to stay along this topic for a while. I don't think it's a topic that you can exhaust in one particular setting. So I wanted to go to the book of Habakkuk. And if you are wondering where is that at in the Bible, just go to your index in the front. Look it up in your Bible and it'll tell you what page to turn to. It's not far behind Matthew in the New Testament. If you just go there and you can go to Matthew and you can backpedal a little bit. You can go through Malachi, Zechariah, and I'm looking. Haggai, John Haggai. And then you can go into Habakkuk. Before I read that scripture text, I want to tell you kind of what we're going to be talking about tonight and moving forward. It is something that is very concerning to me. I don't have Tom Rainer's statistics in front of me. I don't need tonight Tom Rainer's statistics. Can't even hardly say that word, statistics. We can look at our world today and see that our world's in trouble. I can look at the TV, if I so choose to do that, and see that our world is in trouble. I can look at the news, I can look at the world, I can look at the economy. I can see 100 different things if I wanted to start pinpointing a lot of different things. And while all of us would agree that we are seeing the signs of the times, but I look at what is most heartbreaking more than anything. And you're gonna just sort of buckle for a minute when I say this. But I can look at a church that'll seat 400 people and only have about 38 people in it on a Wednesday night with empty pews on each side. And this is just one example. And to say that I don't have to look at the news to know we're in trouble. I can just look at ourselves. You know, the Bible talks about apathy that will feel not only the church at that time, but it fills the air. And the Bible even talks about men's hearts failing them for fear. Now, I'm not here tonight to talk about prophecy necessarily and talk about that topic. We might get into that a little bit later on. I'm here to talk about vision. Vision. And let me say it like this, and I think when I say it like this, you're going to get a hold of it. I hope you do. Just because we see the deplorable conditions of the hearts of men around us, and even though we see the conditions of life around us, watch this. It does not mean that you too have to die. If I wanted to go into a variety of different places before I even get into this message, you know, it's like the lepers that was there at the gate. Are we just going to sit here till we die? They said, or we can go into the famine. You know, we can go into the city. The famine's already there. But if we sit here, we're going to die. And if we go there, we may die. But one thing about it, we're not going to sit here and die. That's the concept. When you look at this scripture on vision, and again, we're going to go through a lot of different things this evening, and I'll get you to a place, and then we'll just pull the plug tonight, then we'll pick back up later. So when you look at this to begin with, I want to read just a portion of scripture. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing. Habakkuk is only 3 chapters. I read the whole thing today several times over and over. I can't even get three chapters done. I may get through the first part of it with an introduction and kind of lay the foundation and the groundwork of where we're going over the next few days. So Habakkuk chapter number 2, we're looking at only a few verses this evening. In verse number 1, he says, "The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see." The first thing that I wanted to point out was he was a prophet sent from the Lord, and he had a burden. I'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But it says there that he did see. There was an ability that was given unto him to see the condition of the people of Israel at that time. I'll get into that. "How long, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling of violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slack, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days, which you will not believe, though it be told of you." Now jump over to chapter number 2. We see this in verse number 1. Again, I'm not going to get through all this this evening, but I want to read it to you, part of it anyway. He says in verse number 1, he said, "I will stand upon my watch." When I read that today in the commentary, it reminded us of his position of alertness. His position is, "I'm at my post. I'm here. I will stand my watch. I'm standing ready." And then he says, the latter part of that was, "It was my guard post, if you will, and set me up on the tower, and will watch and see what he will say." I heard it said one time that vision, watch this, that vision is actually the ability to be able to see what God is saying. It is the ability to be able to see what God is saying. And again, Habakkuk said this. He said, "I will set me upon my watchtower and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer what when I am reproved." And then the Lord answered him, and the Lord said this in verse number 2, a very familiar portion of Scripture where he talks to Habakkuk. The Lord speaks to him, and the Lord said, "And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tablets, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." Well, the whole crux of what that is saying there, God was speaking to the children of Israel. And he was telling them, again, as a reminder, "I am your God and you are my people." But he was given Habakkuk a vision to deliver unto the people. And in that vision, we see this in verse number 4. Now watch this. This brings me to the place of where we were at in a couple of the services back. That if you and I are going to do anything for God, listen, if you and I are going to do anything for God in the day and the hour that we're living in, we're going to have to do it by vision. We're not going to be able to do it by our feelings. We're not even going to know how it's going to happen. Are you with me? When God wrote to Habakkuk, he says this there in verse number 5, and you can just hold right there for a minute. He says this here in verse number 5 of chapter 1. He said, "Behold you among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. In other words, for I will work a work in your days. God was saying to Habakkuk that he was going to do a work in his days. Commentary said it like this, and the work that I'm going to do in your midst is absolutely going to be a marvelous work that is going to astonish you. I want to say it like this. I do not believe that God is finished with Thomasville Church of God. Hello? I do not believe that God is finished with you. I do not believe that God is finished with me. I believe that God still has a plan for this church in the future. Hello? I still believe that God can do a work in our midst that will absolutely astonish us. Amen? What God was telling Habakkuk is this. Even though things do not look like there's any hope left, there's still hope. And that hope is in me. Now, there's a lot of things I want to try to get in this evening. You'll just have to hang on for a little bit. I don't want to be repetitive and I don't want to get too quick and move too far forward too fast. So just bear with me for just a few minutes. So in this, God is telling Habakkuk in the scripture, for the vision is for an appointed time. He said, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely, it will come to pass. Verse number 4 says this. This is where we were at a few weeks ago. Now watch this. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Pray for me. Father, I love you tonight and I praise you and I thank you, God. I thank you, God, that you are more than able, and God, you are more than efficient and sufficient in this room tonight. Lord, I pray that the very words that you've laid upon my heart for this service this evening, I pray, God, that, Lord, I'll just settle in here for a little while, and God, I would speak only that you would have me to speak. Lord, let me not get ahead of you, and God, let me not get behind. But God, I pray that you would help us together to come to that place of fruition in this scripture this evening. That God, that we would hear from heaven. That God, that we would be able to say the things that you want us to say. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit, God, be with us, and the Holy Spirit would reveal to us what he wants us to hear and what we need to be saying in this service today. Lord, you told him in the book of Revelation that he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. And Father, we thank you for your blessings upon us and all that's been said and all that's been done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. When I start this, I want to kind of just go to a background for just a minute. All of this, you can find this in any commentary that you've got. That is a Bible commentary that's written. You can find that the information given is in succinct one with the other. I read in a couple of different commentaries, and basically they were all saying the same thing. We know very little about this man by the name of Habakkuk except for his name. There's not a whole lot of anything anywhere else about him according to commentary. But his name, and this is very important, because his name is actually a name that is kind of a three-dimensional name in some regards, but his name actually means the embracer, one who embraces. If you look at it, it is a word or a name that means, if you look at it as the wrestler. I think of those in the scripture that wrestled, and how that they wrestled. Jacob wrestled with the angel, and we know that his name did not mean that, but there are those in the scripture that wrestled with God. And then also we see that the meaning of his name is one who clings. And in the commentary on this, it says this meaning corresponds to Habakkuk's wrestling with the question of why God would let evil go unpunished, and then why he would bring calamity to his own people. That is very important as you look at that. And again, I'll mention some of this stuff a little bit later on. And part of this is found in Habakkuk 1 and 13. You don't need to turn there. But in this, we see that where it's there. And then also, he sees the calamity of the day, while at the same time, he embraces by faith the salvation of the Lord, as we can see also in the book of Habakkuk. The scholars that wrote about Habakkuk actually timeline this 600 years B.C. approximately when this prophecy took place. Also, we can see of how that Habakkuk was deeply troubled with the injustice that prevailed in the land. I said that to say this, even though that's in commentary, we can see if you and I look at what we are looking at today, it would almost seem as if we would be saying to ourselves that it is unfair, it is unjust, and where is God in the middle of all this trouble that is about us? One place in commentary, it mentioned of how that Habakkuk had witnessed the Chaldeans. And I'll read about the Chaldeans a little bit later on. But it was as if the Chaldeans was coming on. It was a time when Babylon had came and Judah and Israel had been taken over. And the Chaldeans came down, and it seems like everywhere that he looked, it seems as if there was a waste in the land, and the people of God was being totally destroyed at that time by their enemies and those that brought calamity upon the land. When you read further about this, one of the things you begin to understand is that the people of Judah at that time, once again, now watch this, they had left the foundation of God, and they had once again began to serve idols and began to get engrossed in idol worship. Now, you and I, we may not be having a totem today that we would worship, or we wouldn't do things like that, and we don't sacrifice our children as much as on the fire that would the Moloch would require, where that children were sacrificed by fire. But yet you look at America at large, you look at the United States of America at large, and I would really have to stop, and this is not in my notes, but I thought about it today. I would really have to stop today and pause and ask ourselves a question. Where are the children? Where are the children today in our world? And what are our children actually being taught about a loving relationship with God, our Heavenly Father? And it's almost an indictment against us as parents. And children today, and I'm not fussing at children, but it seems like that children had a whole lot rather be involved in so many other things than they would their own spiritual well-being. A generation and a generation and a generation and a generation. It seems like that over the years, and I've seen it, I'm old enough now to see this myself, that you even go back into the 80s when I first got into the church, and some of you would even go back further than that, where that families and lives centered around a loving home, and where even though there were troubles, there was still morals that was being established in the home. But seemingly today, there seems to be no real ethical morals being taught in our homes, much less the schoolhouse. I don't even want to go there this evening, but it is a very dangerous world that we are living in. Now, don't get mad at the preachers too early in the service. I said this 10 or 15 years ago, if not more than this. I probably said it about 15 years ago or so. When I first started seeing the animation of video games years ago, my grandchildren, and Shannon, if you're listening, God bless you. But my grandchildren play this thing called Fortnite. And kids said, and they both are, I mean, they'll play this stuff. And we wonder why, Brother Jones, of how that kids today and young people today can go into a schoolhouse and do some of the things they've done. It's because they've been unsensitized. They have no sensitivity of human life anymore. And a lot of times when you get the madness going on, it's just like a video game in front of them. Now, I know you're going to, somebody may disagree with me. You have the right to disagree, and I have the right to say how I feel. Amen? But I seen this years ago, and I even said, this will be a problem in our future. Now, I said all that to say this, that at this time when it seemed as if the people of God had left God, and they had left the salvation of the Lord, Now, different commentary says different things, and I was reading a lot, and I've got a lot of territory to cover. I don't want to get ahead of myself. So I'm going to reel myself back in here for just a minute and slow down and talk about this. So we see all of this and all the people that's going on there. We see how the Habakkuk opens this up and he sees this as a vision. Now again, I had to reel myself back in a little bit because in verse number 1, we can see the burden which Habakkuk, the prophet, did see. Now in this, I don't know everything that Habakkuk's seen. There's 3 chapters. But in this, we can listen to what he's saying, and we can see of where that God was giving him the burden, and he was able to see the condition of the land. I don't know what it does to you when you see the condition of the church today, when you see the condition of our world today, when you see the condition of our young people today, when you see as if people are so much more concerned about so many other things than they are about God and church. And let me just clarify myself again. I'm not talking about a churchy religion. I'm not talking about tradition. I'm not talking about just churchiness, if you will. But I'm talking about things that lead people into a loving, caring relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So we can see that. And in this Habakkuk, the Bible says when he opened this up in Habakkuk 1 and verse number 1, the Bible says there that the burden that was upon his heart, we see that, and he was able to see. He was able to sense, and he was able to feel that burden. When I begin to read this in verse number 2 today, as I was studying this, it's almost as if I could feel, and I couldn't. Don't. I'm not saying I could the way he felt, and that's not really what I'm saying. But it's almost as if I could feel the weightiness of the words that was up on the pages of God's Word, because it's almost as if he was pleading with God and saying, God, how long are we going to be in the condition that we're in? How long? And he was crying out to God, and he was like wrestling with God and pleading with God. And as he seen the condition of the land, he asked God, how long is it going to be? Now, I know that on Wednesday night, matter of fact, I started to pull this message and save it for Sunday morning because of the importance of it. But this is what God gave me for tonight, and I couldn't do that. I would not have felt right doing that. So I had to deliver this message tonight. And when 90% of our people are not here, and the 10% which are faithful are here, I believe that 10% can turn it around. Amen. But here's the thing. When Habakkuk prayed this, he says, how long? And you look at him, and he says, how long shall I cry? When I read this, it's like His whole entire being was pleading before God, and it's almost as if the anguish of his heart, when again he was seeing all of this around him, he was seeing the condition that the Bible describes, and he was seeing all the sensual sex and all that was described in this text, and it's in there, believe it or not, it's in there. And he was seeing all the wickedness, and he was seeing everything that was going on in his days. And it's to me, and it's in my mind, and it's almost like he was pulling the top of his hair going, God, how long is this going to be, God, before we hear from you and before you answer this prayer? And in this, it was like he was begging God and pleading with God, and the anguish was overcoming him, and thou wilt not hear. And it's as if God himself and the heavens was brass, and God was not answering the plea of the prophet. And you and I this evening, no matter how long we've been in this, there are times in our own life and we plead with God and we say, God, how long is it going to be as it is? I look at our world today and we're saying, God, are you ever going to send revival again? Are you ever going to hear our prayer over our family? Are you ever going to hear our prayer over our children? My friend, in this situation, we can see that where again Habakkuk was praying and was asking God, will you not hear, even cry out unto thee of the violence? And he was saying, God, all the violence that I see all around me, God, I plead with you, I beg of you, God, how long is it going to be this way? Now, when you read that, when you preach this, and when you study this, you might get something totally different out of it. But I can see a prophet with eyes to be able to see what's going on in front of him. And he was begging and pleading with God. And he says in the scripture, in verse number 2, and he says this. He says, even cry in verse 2. He says, "Oh Lord, how long will I cry? And thou will not hear." But I just came by long enough to tell you and me this evening, if we're going to talk about vision, even though we may not see the answer tonight, even though we don't see the answer next week, even though we've been through a period of time in our life that we don't understand, listen, I believe that if we, you and I, believe the Word of God, the Bible says if we will cry and we will plead, if we'll pray, that God will hear and God will answer. It may take a little while. It may not come just like that. It may not come right when you want it, but friend of mine, don't get discouraged, because God is hearing and God will answer. The vision, when we look at this again, we see this in the scripture, in the Psalms. First of all, in the Old Testament, we see this in Psalm 34. Psalm 34 is a very familiar verses of scripture. But I wanted to come by and remind us in verse number 15, if you will, following through 22, what the Word says about the cry or the plea of God's people. Maybe there's somebody in this room tonight. You've been praying for a long, long time. I know I've prayed for people, Sandra, for a long time. I've not seen it come to pass yet. But I believe with everything within me that God is still able to answer prayer. I don't know how you feel tonight, but honey, I'm not going to let go, because I know that God is faithful, and I believe that the answer is on the way. Habakkuk prayed and sought God. The burden of his heart was one of them things that kept him engaged in the ministry at that time, because I tell people all the time, if you quit right now, it's a guaranteed failure. You don't know how many times I push myself, Pastor Green, you got to get up. You got to go, man. You cannot quit now, because if you quit now, it's a guaranteed failure. I tell myself all the time, pain is only secondary to my success. I must push myself when it comes to living for God and spirituality. And if I don't, my friend, myself as well as so many of you in this room, every one of us could be sucked down into the black hole of sin. There's nobody in this room that's so spiritual that you and I could not be attacked or taken back by the devil. We have to stay alert. We have to stay alert. But here's the thing that's on my mind this evening, that God will hear. He prayed and he asked and he begged and he said, God, how long? How long will it be? How long will I have to do this? How long is it going to be until we see the results? I'm asking myself that right now. Believe it or not. Believe it or not, God. But God, I hear in my heart tonight, God echoing in my spirit, be faithful to me, and I will bring to pass every promise I've ever made you. I hear the Holy Ghost saying to me, be faithful. Many folks feel like that God has not heard them, but God has heard you. God has heard me. There's someone in this room tonight. You've prayed and you've pleaded and you've begged and you've cried almost to the point that you can't cry no more. You can't plead no more. You can't beg no more. I'm just coming by long enough to tell you tonight that God has not forsaken you, that God has heard you. But it is for an appointed time. And at that time, God will do a marvelous work in your life, and you will see what God has been up to the whole time. I look back over things that I've already been through, and I've looked how much I've grown through it. I've looked how much God developed me through it. I talk to young guys now, and I look back and I'm thinking, man, if you only knew what I know. But I think, you know what? They've got to go through the same thing that I've been through. They've got to go through it just like I went through it. Sometimes we don't like fighting the devil. Sometimes we don't like the valley. But my friend, it's through the valley of the shadow of death that I will learn to fear no evil and understand that thou art with me. He knew the vision that God had given him, even though he didn't understand it. At that time, he did not understand it. And you can read this, but I'll jump ahead for just a minute. God didn't forsake him. God heard it all. God seen it all. Again, I'm not going to get done with this tonight. No way I'm going to get done with it. So first of all, I wanted to come long enough to encourage us. It's simply in these verses that I want to read to you this evening. And to tell you, maybe you're like Habakkuk. I think of us in this room, and I think of some of us that we've chit-chatted over the years, and we think about our children, we think about those that are lost, and we think about where we've been, and we ask ourselves, God, how long is it going to be before so-and-so gets saved? You don't know how many times that I have feared for things that was out of my reach or out of my control, only to expect an absolute total disaster. So far, God has been able to bring us through it. Amen. Has God ever brought anybody in the room through anything? God is faithful. Let's read this text. In Psalm 34, verses 15 through 22, watch this. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. I thought about this today, that God made man in his image. Somebody said that's in his image or his imagination. But this right here, we must be formed and fashioned in some way as God has enabled us. We have eyes and God has eyes. But again, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Again, that's talking about the vision, that God's vision. He sees the sparrow that falls and he knows everything that goes on in your life. And if I can stop long enough to encourage anybody in this room tonight, I just simply want to come by and tell you this, that God sees you. He knows what you're going through. He sees what you're going through tonight. Has anybody ever had to be reminded of that besides the pastor? That he sees you. He said his eyes are upon the righteous. Anybody in the room besides me, at times you feel like you've been forsaken of God. The Bible reminds us that God, as a mother child, a mother cannot forget her suckling child. So God cannot forget his people. Amen. He has Israel. He has us written upon the palm of his hand, if you will. And the Bible says that he's the Israel. He's talking about Israel in the scripture. In the spiritual context, he's talking about you and I. That you and I are the very apple of his eye. And see, as I read this, I want to jump ahead again and say this, that Habakkuk was a little bit confused about this, because him knowing that they were God's people, they had according to commentary, that they had experienced a revival under one of the kings, Josiah, I believe it was. I read that was Josiah. They had a move of God. They had a revival. I love revival. Hello? But he says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Now watch this. And his ears. Eyes, ears. God has ears. God can hear. Ain't that awesome? How many of you knew that verse was in the scripture? He says that God has ears. And then what does it say? He's open unto their cry, the cry of the righteous. God has not forgotten us. Many times when we look at the calamity around us, many times when we see the conditions of the land of the day, hey, it makes us feel as if God had punched out at 5 o'clock and went to the house. But God's not done that. Let's move on. Verse 16, real fast. He says in the word, again, latter part, his ear is open to their cry. This is interesting because the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off remembrance of them from the earth. Now, let me jump ahead a little bit. At this time, when Habakkuk was looking and seeing what was going on, the people of God had forgotten the ways of God, and they had went a-whoring again after idols and the things at that time that God forbade them to stay away from. Watch this. It's very important. What you and I see in America today, we think that it's simply God forsaken America. Let me remind you that God has not forsaken America, but God might just be removing His hand just a little bit to allow evil to begin to prevail again, so it can condition the people so that their people's hearts will see the evil and once again turn their heart back towards God. You say, well, Pastor, have you got any Bible for that at all? Come back next week on Wednesday night, and I hope that we can get into that part of it, because I can't get into it tonight. But if you go home and you read Habakkuk, 3 chapters, and if you'll study that, that is exactly what was going on. That the children of Israel had forsaken God once again. Not all of them, but a large group and a large part of them had forgotten the ways of God or neglected the ways of God. And the further away from God they got, the more God allowed evil to come upon them. Now, I don't know how you feel, but we look around our world today, and maybe it's just one of those things where we feel like that God's in a faraway land, but in all reality, the proof of the matter is the United States of America is in a faraway land. They're in a place and a condition that God never intended for them to be in, and that is a place and a condition of them forsaking the laws of God and the ways of God. So God has no other alternative but to bring judgment upon that land that's forsaken Him. It happened with Israel. They left the principles of God. When you leave the principles of God, then you're sure enough going to fall under the judgment of God. That's what they done. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Wow. We don't like that verse. Let's take that one out of the Bible. Poop. Tear it out. We don't like that one. And cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. But look at this in verse number 17. He said, now I love this. Now look, this is a parallel. This is two different things. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Look at this. In verse number 17, the Bible said the righteous cry. There it is again. And the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. You got two different things going on there. You see the evil in verse number 16. You see where evil is prevailing, and then you see the judgment of God coming upon the land of those that are doing evil. Then you look in verse number 17. And then you see the righteous crying out to God. And then the promise of the Lord says, as they cry to God, that God will hear them and deliver them out of all of their troubles. Listen to me. I'm just getting too carried away here on a Wednesday night. Like Tom Tatum, he does that, just getting too carried away. I almost said something and I had to check myself. I almost said in my preaching manner, I don't care if gas goes $10 a gallon. Well, that wouldn't be so, because I do care. Let me say it like this. If gas goes to $10 a gallon, I still know that God's going to take care of His people. Hello? Why? Right there. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Look at this next verse, because this goes through 22, I think, if I'm not mistaken. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Humility. To humble yourself before God. To humble yourself before God. And then We see this in Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. In other words, again, if you look at this throughout the scripture, we have this throughout the scripture, even with the disciples, where Jesus was telling them, consider it not strange, all the fiery darts that are to try you. So Habakkuk, let me do this first. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, and then verse 19, where he says, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Listen real close. Even though there's trouble all around us, listen close. Whatever you do for God, do it now. By that I mean, don't put off till tomorrow what is necessary to do today. Even though the scripture says today is the day of salvation. In other words, don't get so, I don't know why this word comes to my mind. It's not even a word. It's not even proper English. I don't even know how to spell it. I would have to get Pam to spell it for me. But don't get caught lollygagging around spiritually and lose out now on everything that you have worked for all of your days and everything that God has promised you. Don't grow weary. Lollygagging. Spell that for me later if you will. Don't just be going just lollygagging around if you will. I don't even know where that slang come from. But you know it can happen. Because it happened with Israel over and over and over again. You know it. You've read the Old Testament where it seemed like Israel done good for a season. They'd do good for a while. And then something else would happen. A king would die. A new king would rise up. They would be a king that would do good for a while, and then eventually he would lead the people of God astray. There was only a few good kings throughout the Old Testament. The rest of them was wretched. Read it. But again, when we look at this, he said, many are the afflictions. Verse 20. He says here in the Word, he keepeth all of his bones, not one of them. This is prophecy about Jesus, 21. Evil shall slay the wicked. And they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. Wow. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying exactly what that says. A man that does evil or a woman that does evil, it is not your nor my place to determine the consequences of their actions. You know, I think about another slang here, or just another analogy, if you will. This says, evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. What does that mean? Here's what that means. And please don't misunderstand what I'm saying, because it could be misinterpreted, but I don't mean it the way it sounds. You give them enough rope and they're going to hang themselves. That's basically what that says. That you, the evil that people are doing, eventually they're going to be brought to desolation. Habakkuk is a good example of that, because Israel continued to slip and do in the evil. If you've ever heard anything that I've ever said in this pulpit, hear this. It don't make no difference what the world does. You and I have a responsibility to God to live for Him, regardless of what the world is doing on the outside. My friend, I've said it before and I'll say it again. You can wade through devil's elbow deep and keep the victory if you really want the victory. I can do that. You can do that. Why? Because greater is He that's within you than he that's in the world. And when you and I get in the flesh and out of the spirit, we are in trouble for sure. But my friend, Paul came back. And when Paul went through everything that Paul went through, Paul says in the book of Romans, he said, yea, in all of these things, we have been made more than conquerors. Amen, amen, and amen. We're a conquering people this evening. Again, when you look in verse 22 and moving really, really fast, the Lord redeemeth the soul of His servants, and none of them that trust Him shall be brought desolate. Nobody in this room that are living for God, the evil that is around us, the Lord said, I'm going to prosper you. I'm going to bless you. Even though the enemy is all around you, I hear you, I see you, I know what you need before you even say a word. And God said, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to take care of you, because you're my people. Now, how did I get all of that out of Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse number 1. Because it's a promise that you and I can hold to today. Again, when you step through this whole book of Habakkuk. Hey, you know 1 Peter 3 and 12 even says this. It's a promise from God in the New Testament. He says it there in the Word. And he says it's a promise that we're reminded of. 1 Peter 3 and 12, he says, for the eyes of the Lord, New Testament, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. The eyes of the Lord are over us. He's watching over us. Maybe you come in this room asking the question that Habakkuk asked, God, how long? I've done that, friend. There have been nights that I've laid awake and I've wondered and I've worried and I've cried and I've begged and I've pleaded. I put earbuds in my ear trying to go to sleep because I've been worried about everything around me and people around me and children and things of that nature, just trying to get some reprieve. Begging God, saying, God, how long? You moms have been there. You dads have been there. When you see your children lost and dying and on their way to hell just as fast as they can go, it'll worry you to death. You know what? God's faithful. God is faithful. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. The eyes of God are over us. He sees it all. He knows it all. Somebody said one time, you fool some of the people some of the time. You can get by with it with people. But you can't fool God none of the time. Because He sees it all and He knows it all. And you know what, in all reality? I'm glad I've got a supervisor called Jesus. He watches over me. He sees me. Amen. There's a little clip on Facebook. It's a bird. It's a little sparrow, and he's on a limb. Pretty little picture. And it shows like an image of the Lord or something behind him. And the caption above him is the scripture that his eye is on the sparrow. And then it says below it, do you ever feel like that somebody's watching you? Hey, you might have come in this room tonight discouraged in despair. I don't know. Habakkuk was in discouragement. He was in despair. He's seen all the desolation. He's seen all the condition of the children of Israel. It burned him. It bothered him. It was supposed to bother us. I'm glad it gets our attention when we see things that's not in order in our lives. Amen. He says his ears are open to their prayers. Prayers. Seek first the kingdom of God. Brother Bob told me that verse. Seek God first. Brother Bob taught me that verse. Before you do anything else of the day, seek the Lord. Now again, I want to pull it back in to say this. Vision is seeing what God is saying. When we seek God first, we inquire of God. And we ask God what He has to say about it. Amen? And it said, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. That is a repeat of the scripture out of Psalm 34. Now that's page 1. You want me to stop or keep going? Page 2 is another hour. I know what your answer is. That's the quickest hour of my life right there. God's not against you. He said, God, how long? Verse 1 of our text. How long? How long? Many times we pray those prayers. God, how long is it going to be till you answer us? How long will it be? Now, Habakkuk is told to write this vision. And he does in chapter 2 into chapter 3. He writes it. I'm not going to get into it. I know I'd miss a lot if I did. I'm not going to push it. So I'll leave that right there. I'm not going. I'm in this valley of decision. Because if I know if I do, I don't want to hurry it. How many of you in this room are glad that God hears you? Amen. Even in your trouble. Amen. Vision. We're not there yet. That was the icebreaker. That was the icebreaker to the rest of this, where we're going with it. If y'all pray real hard, I might do this Sunday morning. Maybe. I doubt it. Probably not. I got to keep it where it's at because that's what the Lord told me to do. I need to say something. Brother Kane, if he don't mind me saying, he said, when you get a chance, if you can ever preach about prayer, preach on prayer. I'll do that. But you know, it's ironic. Message number two tonight, Brother Kane. Message number two. It's ironic that we've been given the greatest privilege of the universe is prayer. To be able to talk to the Lord. To be able to talk to the God that created the heavens and the earth. Let's spend a little time doing that this week. I tell people sometimes, Sandra, I said, if you'll pray for me three minutes this week, it'll make a difference in the service Sunday. I believe that. See, Barbara's praying 3 minutes, and Josh is praying 3 minutes, and Sister Nelson's praying 3 minutes. All that adds up. You got a lot of people praying for you. So let's spend time this week in prayer as we move forward towards the weekend. We got to make a difference, folks. We've got to. Let's stand together. Father, we love you. Oh, sweet Jesus. Sweet Holy Spirit. Father, in a world that is seemingly so messed up, Father, we plead with you over the very thing that Habakkuk saw. God, how long when we see violence, and how long when we see all these things around us, how long, Lord, will it be till you answer prayer, until you save, God, until you turn it around? But Father, I'm reminded of the scripture of 2 Chronicles 7:14. That I said in the beginning, God, you said, if my people, which will call by my name, will humble themselves and pray. And God, we humble ourselves, God, this evening. And God, we seek your face. We don't seek your provisions. We don't seek your hands. We seek your face. And as we seek your face, that we might come to know you in an intimate manner. And that God, as we seek you in an intimate manner, God, that you can reveal to us who you are. Father, I pray, God, even now that you would touch us in this congregation tonight. That God, that you would heal bodies, that you would, God, give us a desire to serve you and to love you and to honor you, God, like we've never had in all of our days. And God, I pray that you would forgive us. You teach us in your word to repent ye in Acts 3:19. And the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And God, we repent tonight, God, and we ask you to forgive us and help us, oh God, to be found faithful as we endeavor to do your work and your will. And we ask you this in Jesus' name. And all the people of God said, amen. Tonight was an introduction. It was just a little bit of what I'm going to try to get into with this chapter. God bless you. Have a good night. We'll see you Sunday morning.